Sister Kim was singing that song. The Lord took my mind over to the revelation, that scene before the throne of God. One day we're going to kneel there, but it said in the midst of the throne there stood a lamb. And what made me think about that is that may well be the words we're singing when he stands before us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. The lamb that was slain for our redemption. It's because of Jesus that we're here today and able to rejoice, to praise him, to be new creatures in Christ, all because of what Jesus has done for us. I'm thankful you're here today. And I remind you, before we look into God's word, Wednesday night will be our annual business meeting. The only class we'll have is the junior church, the little kids. Sister Vicky will, she's the only one who gets to escape the business meeting. But we need you to be here, if at all possible. And then next Sunday evening, our night service will be a community service. I encourage you to be praying and seeking the Lord that he would have his way. Brother Maxie will be preaching that evening service. So let's look forward to a good time in the Lord with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to begin in Matthew 14. I'll pick up a couple more verses in Luke chapter 5. Matthew 14, a very familiar scene when Jesus come walking on the water to the disciples out on the troubled sea. He tells Peter to come to him. Verse 29, and he, Jesus, said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, this is what I want you to catch here, Jesus stretched forth his hand, amen, and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Then in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our wonderful Savior, our Lord, our friend, our counselor, our all in all. Lord, I pray that as you minister your word to us, that our hearts would be opened, our minds would be attentive, that we would hear the voice of your Spirit, we would receive into our hearts what you want to speak to us, that you would encourage us, you would challenge us. Lord, you would draw that needy, wayward soul to you today. And Lord, for all you do, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to take time to explain and go into context. I think those are both very familiar passages. But it's that act of Jesus in each one that I want to focus your attention on. In both of these, we see Jesus doing something that people have long been doing when they want to help someone. Jesus was reaching out his hand to help a soul that was in need. Two things are symbolized in this. In the leper, we see Jesus symbolically reaching out to the lost and the dying, because the leprosy represents sin. He's reaching out to those just like he did you and I one day when we were lost in sin. But with Peter, we see a believer, though one who is struggling, beginning to sink. He felt like he was about to perish, but Jesus reached out to him as a struggling believer. And I don't know where you are or have been in your experience, but that encourages me to know that Jesus is always reaching to his children. Amen. I hope we will see today that when Jesus reaches his hand to us, it is always the love of God extended to us. It is divine love reaching out. And from that, I want to consider the subject, the reach of love. You know that God's people are to be a reaching people. Amen? I'm very aware this morning as a local congregation that it's difficult going through times of loss. We lose people that we love. Families move away. We go through these things. It's happened many times over the years. It's happened in every church I've been a part of, but it's never easy. But you know, a congregation of people always has a choice in these times. You know, we can pull in and lick our wounds, as the saying is, or we can reach out to what God has for us. Because the reality is there are souls all around us that need a helping hand. There are souls that are lost. There are souls that are struggling. There are believers who are discouraged. There are people that God would use us to reach out in his love. And so I pray that will be our response, that we will be used of God. See, what the Lord wants, we know that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, but his body is to be active today, and we are to be the hands of Jesus that are reaching out to this world. You, as an individual believer, me, not just as a pastor, but as an individual believer, we are to be the hands of Jesus reaching out to souls in need, and there are no exceptions in the body of Christ. We all God's desire is to use all of us to be the hands of Jesus reaching out in love. One of the things that love does on any level, human love, divine love, love is always reaching out to those who we love. Love desires to help those we love. I see that happening on many levels. In humanity, we see it in marriage, in the home, and among family members. We see it in friendships and a lot of close human relationships. We see people, and you've perhaps known of people like this, that they're described as having a big heart, and one of the things that causes them to be thought of in that way is they're always reaching out in love to help others. And I'll tell you this morning that the reach of human love is commendable, but there is a problem with it. And that is that human love can never reach far enough. Amen? Human love is not capable of the reach that is needed by lost and struggling souls. One of the things that the Lord took me to when I was studying this, and I was thankful, I listened to it, and if I was able to sing, I would sing it, but I'll just read the words. But probably most of you today are familiar with the words of the old gospel song, "When he reached down his hand for me." Amen. I didn't know it. The song was actually first recorded by Johnny Cash, but it was written before that. And whoever sang it or whoever has sung it is not the issue, but the words are what touches our hearts. And it says, "Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way." You remember that? That was us. "I was wretched and blind as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me." Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The chorus says, "When the Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone. without God or his son when he reached way down for me. Amen. But all of it is worth reading. The second verse says, I was near to despair when he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete when he reached down his hand for me. The last verse, now my heart does rejoice when I hear his sweet voice. In the tempest to him I then flee, there to lean on his arms, safe, secure from all harm, since he reached down his hand for me. It's a wonderful old song. If you would have been in my home yesterday afternoon, throughout the day, you'd have heard it a lot of times. Sister Vicki probably got tired of hearing it because it was on my heart all through the day. And this morning, I'm glad, dear ones, that I know the reality of it. We believers across the world have come to love that song because it expresses what Jesus Christ did for us and made us his children. He didn't wait till we rose up to some place where we could reach him. He didn't wait till we became worthy or deserving. Aren't you glad for that? But he reached way down in that pit of sin where I was, and he lifted me up by his grace and his power. He reached way down for me. He reached down and he picked me up and he cleaned my life and gave me a new hearted nature, and he put me on the straight and narrow way. And I'll be honest, there have been times that I've stumbled along the way. I didn't get it always right, and times I've got down in despair, discouragement, but you know what I've found every time? A hand reaching down in love to me. Hallelujah. And it is, that's what I hope you realize, it is always the love of God in Christ that causes him to reach down for you and I, no matter where we are. And I believe that every true child of God shares in that testimony, because no matter how good we may have thought we were, and I hope if you're a Christian, you don't look back and think I was a pretty good person. None of us were any good at all. Amen? The Bible says that there was nothing good in us, and even today, without Christ, there is not one good thing about us. There's no reason for anybody to get lifted up at all. But Jesus, when we were so unworthy, undeserving of his love, he reached down his hand of love for us. So glad. Every time that he reaches, it is the love of God reaching out. Every time that he extends his grace and mercy to us, it is the love of God reaching down. Even the very act, and I've talked about it often, of Jesus, who was in heaven with the Father. And when he came down to this world, when he condescended, he took on human form, dear ones, that was the love of God in Christ reaching down in love to you and I. So if we really want to know about the reach of love, we're not going to learn about it by looking at what people are doing on a human level. We have to look at the love of God in Christ. We have to read God's word, verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was the love of God in Christ reaching down to this fallen world. We go over to Romans 5 and 8 when it says God proved his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? That is the love of God reaching down for us. I'm glad today that I can share that with needy souls. I'm glad that whoever they are, the Bible says that God is not willing that any perish. He's still reaching down to lost and dying souls, dear ones. The Bible said that whosoever will can come. And the good news is when we feel even unable to make a move, all we have to do is look heavenward, hold this feeble hand up, and the mighty hand of Jesus will reach down for us. He will take hold of us and he will change our life. Amen. And the message of the gospel, if you think about it. This, by the way, this blessed gospel message has been entrusted to you and to me. It has been entrusted to the people of God, but it is a message of what? It is a message of God's love in Christ reaching down to people who were not able to rise up. And it is as we, I think, if I heard right, Brother Richard mentioned it about living out the message. It's as we live out the message of the gospel and we share the message of the gospel, never forget it takes both. If you think you're just going to be a verbal witness and not live according to the gospel, your life's going to be a mess and you're going to do more damage than you do good. We've got to live out the message, and a part of living out the gospel message is reaching our hands to those in need. Amen. Reaching out our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one. It's only then that we can become the hands of Jesus, reaching out in love to needy souls around us. But as we're thinking about this morning, the reach of love, I will tell you that we have come to a time, this generation, when the reach of most believers and most congregations is far too limited. Amen. Everybody awake? My wife tells me when they're quiet, that means they're thinking. So I'm gonna go on faith this morning. Believe you're thinking. The reach is too limited. We are in a generation that is dominated by self-love and that is becoming increasingly isolated. That is the day that we're living in. It is that there was a curve that statisticians and those, if you wanted to get into that they would paint about this, the degree of isolation in our society, it was a gradual curve, but when we hit the pandemic, that curve just became greatly increased. And the degree to which people reach out to one another decreased or almost stopped in many ways in these past few years. And that tells us that the reach of love in humanity is far too small. The reach of love of the church of this generation has become far too small. And when our reach is too small, that means our love is too small. Amen. It means it's too limited. It means that we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do, to shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, because when that love is filling our hearts and overflowing our souls, there is no question that we are going to be reaching out in love to those around us. Amen. So instead of being the hands of Jesus reaching out and reaching down to help souls in need because God's love is in us, the reach of this church generation has been very restricted. You say, Brother Chris, don't you think people have love? I think most people do. But the problem is the circle of people they love is far too small. You listen? Most people love somebody. A few people, but what has happened is we've allowed circumstances to tighten that circle. They reach out in love to people who are close to them, family members, friends. They even go the extra mile with them that are within the circle. But when you ask them to reach beyond the circle, you know, part of the work of a congregation and a pastor is to motivate people to reach beyond our little circles. Amen? To reach beyond. And that's part of what God's trying to do with us today. When we begin to encourage people to reach beyond your circle, you soon find out how small their love is, how limited their reach is. But I believe that is why, because What we see in that most of the time is the reach of human love. You know, human love reaches family members. Human love reaches close friends. And I believe that is actually the sole motivating factor for most of the people who call themselves believers in this day. They cannot reach beyond the limits of their feeble human love, because that's what human love is at its best. It's feeble. Church people today, when asked to help those in need to reach out, do you know the first thing that starts happening in their minds? It's sometimes out loud. They begin to start trying to qualify that person. Are they worthy of my help? Amen. That is usually response number one of church people when it comes to being asked to help. But I thought about that. I'm glad that Jesus didn't wait till I was worthy before he reached down to me. Amen. I'm glad he did not wait for you to qualify yourself to become good enough so that his holy hand would be able to take your wretched and defiled hand. I'm glad that when we were wholly undeserving, completely unworthy, he reached down in love to you and I. That's what he did. Amen. God's word tells us that it is the love of Christ in us that is supposed to be constraining us. That means his love in us compels us, it moves us, it motivates us to what? To reach our hands in love. Amen. Reach out to the lost, reach out to the needy, reach out to the poor and underprivileged, reach out to the undeserving, and don't think when we've done that we've gone all the way like the love of God does, because the love of God reaches all the way to his enemies. Amen. And it's hard to get people to grasp this because we are in such a generation that has been brought up thinking so highly of themselves. When God reached out to us, we were his enemies. We had made ourselves his enemies. We were rebels against God. That's what sinners are. Strangers and aliens from the covenant of grace. We were, to use Paul's words in Ephesians 2, we were hopeless. That was us before Christ reached down for us in love. Amen. God's word tells us that we are to reach out in love even to our enemies, even to those who persecute and use us. Anybody got that in their Bibles? Do I got some misprint? I mean, that in your Bible, Sister Margaret? Bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. Love your enemies. That in your old Bible? Okay, make sure if it ain't in your Bible, throw it the one you got away and I'll get you a real one. One of the ways that God's people have proven themselves to be the true people of God, the genuine article, is because this has happened repeatedly throughout church history. It is what has amazed the unbelieving world, that God's people, though mistreated, though persecuted, though cruelly treated, they could reach out in love to the very ones who have been doing that to them. And we don't have to go far, go to Acts 16. Very familiar scene there when Paul and Silas has been thrown into the jail in Philippi. They've been beaten. They're cruelly treated. They're down in the deepest dungeon. The Bible tells us at midnight they began to say, "Woe is me." I'm just asking, seeing if y'all's awake. They began to do what? Sing praises. Amen. Might have been Silas that started that song. Thank you for the valleys I walked through today. They began to sing, and we know what happened. God sent that earthquake. The doors of the prison were opened. The shackles fell off their hands and their legs. And there, that Philippian jailer, that's something I hadn't thought about before. That man, do you think a jailer in those days was a kind man, were kind men? Do you think they were somebody that, you know, pampered Paul? No, he had treated them cruelly. He had abused them. And when those doors came open, that Philippian jailer had taken his sword and was just about to take his own life. And I thought if it had been a lot of church people today, they'd have said, go ahead and do it. I read yesterday of preachers. I mean, sadly, it's on the internet now. We're saying those kind of words to sinners, to celebrities. I thought, my God in heaven, have mercy, because the church ought to be doing what Paul and Silas did in that day. They reached out in love to that man who had treated them so bad. And they led him in saving faith to Jesus Christ. Now, what if they hadn't reached out? What if they had done nothing? What if they had just turned a deaf ear like most do today, a blind eye? Amen. Let him die for the way he's treated me. Let them suffer because of what they've done to me. That is the attitude of most church people today. I didn't say most Christians. I said of most church people. But no, that is not the attitude of love. Amen? The attitude of love is just what Paul and Silas shows. Love reaches out. There was a soul about to go into eternity unprepared, but love reaches out. All around us are souls in that condition. I could imagine Paul, because his body was beaten and bruised, his flesh was telling him, that man's made you suffer, let him go. But there was the spirit that Paul listened to, amen? And the spirit in Paul was saying, it wasn't long ago that you were that man cruelly treating the people of God. You were that man trying to crush the early church. But the loving hand of Jesus reached down to you on the Damascus Road. Amen. And you know what that caused Paul to do? Because his life had been transformed by that hand reaching out in love, by the love of God in Christ transforming his life. The rest of Paul's life, all the way until his head was taken off, dear ones, was lived doing what? Reaching out with the love of Christ, trying to help needy people, needy souls. But we've come to a time where not only churches, but whole movements, whole denominations have ceased reaching out, and they have just gathered in. They have become self-centered and introverted, isolated from the very world that God commanded them to go to. The focus has become on us and ours. Let me tell you, when our focus is on us and ours, or the more personal, me and mine, our life is dominated by the flesh. Amen. Because we're no better than sinners. That is exactly how they live, in their little circle, me and mine. And so we have come to that place in religion where it's more about us than others. It's more about what we have going on, and there is no community involvement, no reaching hands in fellowship to other believers in Christ, no mission, no evangelistic work, no desire to reach out to anyone that is just a little bit different than them. God, have mercy on those attitudes, amen? Because I will tell you what a self-centered church is. You listen? A self-centered church is a dying church. Amen? A church that isolates themselves and becomes introverted in their focus, it is a dying church. You can mark it down. You can write it. Look at it. Remind yourself of it every day. And if our lives become that way, we are on a road to spiritual death. Amen. That's not what God saved us for. So I want you to understand, because I know very well, you know, the focus of a lot of my preaching. But I want you to understand this morning, in all the preaching that comes across this pulpit about, you know, living holy and walking in obedience and being conformed to the image of Christ and all those things that we need to hear. The purpose, God's purpose in that is not to make us little trophies that he puts us on a shelf or not so we can get lifted up with pride. The focus and purpose of those messages is to get us prepared so we can reach out in love effectively. Amen? Because if we're not being, and this is where religion is so messed up today. If we are not being the people God calls us to be, we cannot be doing what he calls us to do with any effectiveness. And that's why you have the vast majority of what's called Christianity today going out and making people twofold more the child of hell than they are themselves, because they are not being the people God calls. You see, we have to, and I say it often, but there has to be a balance in our lives. There needs to be. Because if there's not, what happens when something unbalanced? It goes astray. If we are not encouraged and strengthened in our faith, if we are not instructed in Christian living and the lives of holiness, which you know the Word of God is absolutely filled with, what God wants us to be. If we don't have that instruction and encouragement, we won't be able to go out and reach our hands in love to a world that is in such need. And I've seen that happen in so many churches. Now, every church should be an evangelistic church, but there are those who they use that name specifically. Their entire focus is outward. It's just on getting people to be believers, and they don't focus on preparing the body. They don't focus on discipleship and holiness of heart and life. And so they go out and they carry words with them, but there's nothing behind it. We have to be prepared to be the hands of Jesus reaching out in love. Amen? If we allow ourselves, on a congregational level or an individual level, if we allow ourselves to be self-centered, we become self-absorbed, we will be of no use to God or man. Amen. And it is tragic that most people have come to that. They're more content, they're more comfortable without bothering with what I'm preaching about this morning. Don't bother me about reaching out. They're too narrow-minded. They have no interest. You know, we wonder when you... I do. Of course, I know the answer. You know, you try to promote Christian unity and you try to get people to come together and there's a little, but it's not a great deal of interest in the big picture. They're not interested in anyone beyond their little circles. Anyone with any differences than their circle has. And the attitude is very much the same towards lost souls. Oh, they're interested in getting people to come to church, but their interest in their souls ends there. And so most today, now listen, most today don't want to be bothered with things like witnessing, things like visiting, inviting, getting personally involved with souls in need. You know, the really disturbing thing about it is God sees this. He sees that most people who sit in church pews are content to let the world go to hell as long as they're going to do okay themselves. God sees. Those same people will spend thousands on their pet dogs and pet cats, but don't ask them to give a dime to missions or to get involved in the lives of others and give of themselves. That they will spend almost anything. They'll go in debt for their own hobbies. But don't ask them to visit a soul in need or to give to help a suffering family. Too many examples come to mind for me to... You may think, Brother Chris, you're just saying words, you're just dreaming. I'm talking about real life. I'm talking about what I deal with week after week. They'll drive halfway across the country for ball games, but they won't drive across town to visit a soul in need. You know, it used to be that God's people were visiting people. Some of you grew up like I did in generations where churches had visitation programs. You remember that? Brother Bill, you remember? Some of y'all remember? But it's, you say, well, we don't have it going on here because I'd be going visiting alone. And I do, by the way. That attitude that'll take care of ourselves and what we got going on and do anything for our little circle, but won't go beyond that, that is not New Testament Christianity. That is religion. That is dead, powerless, lifeless religion that is dominating our community. You see, something happens in us when we know that Jesus reached down for us. Amen. I mean, if you're still living down in the pit of sin, that's not going to happen. But when you know that the Savior, the Lord of glory, the Lamb of God, he reached down in love when I was in that pit and he picked me up and he cleaned me up off and he put me on the straight and narrow way and he has transformed. When you know that in personal experience, you want others to share it. You're never going to be content. A redeemed soul will never, ever be content to live a self-centered, isolated life. Well, I thought I was going to encourage you this morning, but it's done got tough, hasn't it? I'm about done, so you can hold your breath a few seconds longer. When I think about what Christ has done for me, I think, how can I complain about anything that he asked me to do and anywhere he asked me to go and anybody that he asked me to help? How could I ever complain about that when he has done so much for me? Amen? When you know the reality of that song, he reached down his hand for me, when you know that reality in your heart and life, you will desire that your hands become the hands of Jesus reaching out in love. Amen? Amen. I'll say amen. So I want to ask you this morning, and I'm preparing to close. Surprised, aren't you? How much are you reaching out in love? How far? How far does your love reach? Because if it's only in a little circle, it may not be God's love at all. If a sinner can reach as far as you have, you need to question yourself. A sinner will reach to his friends and family. And please understand this. This has nothing to do with age. You know, I know that the devil would tell us, oh, I'm too old, I'm too tired, I'm too weak, I'm too sick. But let me just ask. I'm done already meddling. How many of us are too old and too weak, too sick to use our telephones? Amen. Because those can be wonderful ways to reach out if you use them right. You know, you still know how to pick up that pencil and write a note? You can reach out from your home. You know, we could talk about prayer lives, because the prayer lives of most of believers revolves around their little circle. And they don't ever reach out in prayer to people that, if they're blessed, it's not going to really affect me. All they do is pray about the ones that affect them. That is a selfish prayer life. Ask God to bless somebody that when he does it, it's not going to benefit you in any way personally. Amen. You can reach out in your prayer life. Matter of fact, most prayer lives need to reach out. But do we want to be the hands of Jesus? Or are we going to be content to just keep what we imagine that we have to ourselves? I'll say it again. Private, closed off spiritual life is a dead or dying spiritual life. Everybody hear that? Okay, answer, because I'm going to repeat it two or three times if you don't. I want to ask you to do something this morning before our musicians come. You don't have to tell me. This will be between you and God. Is there one soul that God can use you to reach out to? I'm talking about beyond your little circle. In the coming days and weeks, to reach out in prayer, to reach out in personal involvement, to reach out in words of kindness. Is there, I'm not asking you to make a list of 10 or 3. Will you let the Lord do as the song says, lay one soul on your heart? See, this is part of what encourages me. I'm not real good at math, but I can add. You know, if this little congregation, if each of us just reach out to one soul. Say, Brother Chris, they all not going to, if just half find success. Do you know the change? But you know what happens when we don't reach out? Just what's been happening. And you can ride all through the countryside. I can point you to them if you want. Country churches just like this whose doors are closed because they died, because they became self-centered. They quit reaching out. Amen. Is there one soul that you will allow God to put on your heart to reach out to? And I'll tell you, dear ones, if we're not willing to do that, we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord for his mercy and forgiveness if we're not willing to be used of God to reach a soul with the love of Jesus. If I would have thought about it, we'd have closed the service with that song, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Love that soul through me. The good news, and part of what the message we can take to people, whoever it is, however far down they may be, there's none beyond the reach of Jesus. Amen? His hand. Say, Brother Chris, their life is in such a mess, I don't want to get involved. That's the problem. We haven't. We haven't got our hands. So I don't want to get my hands dirty. Jesus touched a leper. I just read it. Those that everybody run from. Jesus is able to reach down through you and I to touch lives that are in need of his salvation. I'm going to ask our musicians to come now and ask you to stand. I'm not asking you to come forward and tell me anything. If you need to pray, that's fine, but I'm asking you to open your heart to what God wants to do with you and in your life. Will you allow God to lay a soul on your heart? Will you say, Lord, take my hands and let them be the hands of Jesus to reach out in love, even if it means you must reach way down? I pray that we will let God move on our hearts. Father, we thank you.